I want you to think about, once again, authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Pick it up at verse 15. And I'll read for your hearing through verse 19. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. And their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. You may be seated. Authentic Christianity. Previously, when we looked at this text under the auspices of the same emphasis, we reminded ourselves of how important it is to have a correct assessment of ourselves, not to compare ourselves with ourselves, certainly not to compare ourselves with others, but to assess ourselves in light of the Scriptures. For truly, that is our benchmark. We encouraged ourselves to also know that it is important to have a correct talk. That is our conversation. It's equally important to have a correct understanding and not allow our minds become mired with worldly opinions that can lead us astray. And then we said we must also have a correct walk. That is, feet must be put to faith. It's not just what we say. Anybody can talk Christianity. Anybody can come to church. Anybody can tote a Bible. Most anyone can pick it up and read it. Some can remember it, others can quote it, but how many will live it? How many will live it out in their lives? We came to the conclusion on the front end of the text that authentic Christianity is the outward expression of a surrendered heart to Jesus Christ. That's important. Because you can be surrendered to a lot of things other than Jesus. And those things that you are surrendered to, those things that we allow ourselves to become surrendered to, can become the guiding principles in our lives. And if you're not careful, what we are can speak so loud that people cannot hear what we say. Authentic Christianity is the outward expression, that is, our lives, our lifestyles, of an inward surrendered heart to Jesus Christ. I emphasize Jesus Christ because people use the word surrendered very casually. Surrender to a church, surrender to a program, surrender to an order of worship, surrender to a leader. Surrender to some things that you hear. My friend, it is not until we are surrendered to the person of Christ that we can truly say our heart is surrendered. And it all begins at Calvary. I always go back to that. It begins at Calvary. So I want us to ask ourselves today, is the Christianity that I profess, is it authentic? Is it real? Is it demonstrated in my life in such a way that I have deep and profound convictions that does not allow me to be the same old person? You hear a lot of talk about being a new person in Christ, and I'm new, and things are getting better for me. Be careful, because some of us have worn that record out. I want you to know something. Newness in Christ is not a record that's supposed to skip. It's supposed to move through the song. That is, that we are becoming new each and every day. But if you find yourself being the same person that you used to be and thinking the same way that you used to think and acting the same way that you used to act, and the only difference is you occupy a pew every now and then, you could not be new. You could be just a pew warmer. Let me give you three things to chew on this week when it comes to authentic Christianity. The authenticity of Christianity must be concerned about the truth. There must be deep and powerful concerns about the truth. Go back to verse 16. We read it. It's worth looking at again. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. In other words, the believer in Christ should learn to shun godless chatter, because it can do damage to your character and to your reputation. Profane talk, the Greek word is bebelos. It means irreverent, godless conversations. I'm amazed, I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I'm amazed at how we can remember filth, but we can't remember the scriptures. We can remember filth, but we can't remember the scriptures. Vain talk, empty talk, meaningless talk, babbling talk, endless discussions about nothing of value, Paul reminded the young preacher, Timothy, stay away. It'll mess you up. Don't waste your time in such foolishness. On another occasion, 2 Timothy 2 and 23, he said, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that the result is they only do nothing but produce quarrels. People like to ask deep and profound questions about the Bible. And then there are those who are bold enough and careless enough to try to entertain things that they don't even know about themselves. Shun godless chatter. That's one way of being concerned about the truth. Then seek to understand the truth that you know. Come on, preacher, be practical with me. How do I do it? Well, for one thing, be interested. Be interested in your church. Be interested in your Bible. Be interested in what's going on in the body of Christ, of which you profess to be an intimate and vital part of. Be interested. Be concerned enough to open your word. Be concerned enough to read your word. Be concerned enough to internalize the word of God in your own life so that it indeed might become that lamp unto your feet, that light unto your pathway. Be interested. Not only be interested, be involved. Don't become just a casual observer, not a casual attender. Be involved in the life of God, in the life of the body of Christ where you serve. Be involved. Don't gaze at it from long distance. Don't wave at your Christian friends as they're going through their turmoil and as they're experiencing their goodness and as they're experiencing the blessings of God on your life and you're on an island somewhere waving from afar off. Be involved. Have intimate relationships with the people of God, but more importantly, have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Be interested. Be involved. Be informed. Read your word. Know what your word says. Don't make it a practice to go through life repeating things that you heard. Read your word so that you can filter things through a proven standard, and the only proven standard for the believer is the word of God. God has reminded me, and he is still reminding me, that as I read God's word and bring it alongside and filter it alongside what I think and where I am, and when I discover that I'm wrong and God's right, there's not but one option, one alternative. Throw away your opinion. Throw away your idea and embrace the word of God, because he's always in every place and in every circumstance and in every situation. He's always right. He's never close. He's never almost. He's always perfect in every way. Seek to understand. Proverbial writer put it this way, Proverbs 4 and 7. He says, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Get it. Acquire it. From where? The word of God. And with your acquiring, get what? Understanding. Not just information. Understanding as to how we might apply it to our lives. Lack of understanding weakens the body of believers. You remember Paul? Paul said on one occasion, the good that I do, I would not do. And the bad that I want to do, I find myself doing. He concluded by saying, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? And then he concluded with that crescendo statement, I thank God through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Jesus will make everything all right. Why? Because he gets it right every time. If our understanding is outside of Jesus, we miss the mark. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 22 and 29. But Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken." These were his criticizers. These were the smart ones that surrounded him. He said, "You are mistaken, not understanding two things." He says, first of all, you don't understand the scriptures. And secondly, you don't understand the power of God. God's word is as sure as God himself. Because all scripture is breathed, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's his final word to all of us. William Barclay put it this way, and I quote, "The aim of all Christian discussion and of all Christian action is to bring a man nearer to God." It's not about swapping stories. It's not about impressing one another about what we know. The aim of all Christian discussion, the aim of all Christian activity is to bring a man, to bring a woman, to bring a boy, to bring a girl nearer to God. And we can't do that outside of Jesus. To be concerned about the truth is to shun godless character chatter, rather. It is to seek to understand. It is also to settle for nothing less than the truth of God's word. Hymenaeus and Philetus were mentioned in the text. Look at verse 17. He says, their talk. He says, you got a couple of characters in the church. And I want to point them out to you. He says, their talk will spread like gangrene. And then he identifies them. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. He calls them out. They're promoters of godlessness. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. He goes on to say that he leads some astray and causes them to deny the resurrection. They did not know God's truth. They taught in error. And they shipwrecked the faith of some. That's why it's so important. Every time I stand in this pulpit, it is so important that you open your Bible and read what's being preached and read what's being taught. That's critical. Follow the text. Allow God's word to speak for you. Preservation of truth may involve disciplining some of those who are erroneous in what they're doing and misrepresentation of the word. And the church should never be negligent in setting folk down who do not know what they're talking about, because they can ruin your lives. A lot of folk today go to church on the web. I said, "Reverend, you know, I hadn't been at church for a while, but I go out on the web." Is that right? And you go out on the web and you get just enough information to make yourself dangerous. You see, who corrects you? Who teaches you? What's your plumb line? What's your accountability relative to the word of God? What's your lifestyle while you're not at church? Hymenaeus and Philetus were characters in the church, and it seems that Hymenaeus was the ringleader. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, look at 1 Timothy 1 and 20. You'll find Hymenaeus being mentioned again. Paul says, among these are Hymenaeus. There he is again. But here's another one, Alexander. Paul says, whom I've handed over to who? Satan. He says, I've turned them boys over to Satan. And he says, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. I don't know about you, but after being delivered from Satan, I don't want to be handed over to him. the one who kills and seeks to destroy, the one who is the father of lies, you remember him. Unsound doctrine should never be tolerated. We know as believers, we are saved by grace, sanctified by God's Spirit, seated in the heavenly, secure in Christ, and we understand that the resurrection is not a myth. Be concerned about the truth, not just intellectually, but practically, as it speaks to your life. Now, secondly, be connected by faith. Look at verse 19. Paul says, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands. It's immovable. It doesn't shift. The firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. Here it is. The Lord knows those who are his. You might say, I don't care what you say, preacher. I'm saved. I won't argue with you. You might say, I don't care what you say, pastor. I love the Lord. I will not argue with you. You might say, when I die, I'm on my way to heaven. I won't argue with you. But you better make sure the scriptures don't argue with you. You better make sure you're in agreement with the word. You better make sure that what you say and how you live and the way you conduct yourself and how you act and react is in accordance with God's word. You better know that your heart belongs to Jesus. I won't argue with you. But the scriptures might. You have to bring yourself alongside of them. The Lord knows those who are his. And here's the rest of the seal. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. You might say, I love the Lord and I love living in sin. You need to read your Bible. You might say, I do a little of this and I do a little of that and I love it and God understands. You might say that you can marry wickedness, you can marry darkness with light. You might say that, but the Bible never says that. Never. The Bible says everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Those of us who are connected by faith, according to the Bible, we are known by him. We are redeemed by him. That means we have been bought with the price of his blood. And his Spirit is at work in us. Notice what Jesus said, John 10 and 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says, and I know my own. And he says, my own know me. Jesus basically said three things. He says, first of all, I'm the good shepherd. Really, he's the only shepherd. He says, and I know my own. Jesus says, I know everyone that belongs to me. I know them personally. But then he also says something else. He says also, my own know me. How? Because he gives a deposit, and that deposit is the Holy Spirit in our hearts that lets us know that we are not in and of ourselves, but we have been bought with a price. Some people can live in sin and never be disturbed, never bother them, never move them, never bring them to tears, never bring them to godly sorrow, never bring them to repentance, and it just could be because they don't belong to God. Known by him because his foundation is sure. More than just verbal acknowledgement, more than just intellectual attainment, more than just casual acquaintance. His expectations are high. How high are his expectations? He says, depart from wickedness. Walk away. That's what he says. If you truly belong to God, walk away. You might say, I can't. The hooks are too deep. I can't. I can't walk away. I've tried and I can't walk away. That's the problem. You can't walk away. He can do it for you. He did it at Calvary. Yeah. Yeah. But you have to belong to him in order to satisfy him. Ephesians 4 and 22 says that in reference to your former life, this is the old us. He says, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Well, my friend, we don't do that in our own strength. Christ did it on our behalf. The connecting point, though, is faith in Jesus. Isaiah 55 and 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You can't just stop there. You have to read on. He says, and let him what? Return to the Lord. And he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, but not until we agree with God that he's right and we're wrong. You can fool people. Are you with me? Say amen. You can fool yourself. Say amen. Here's the punchline. But you cannot fool God. Say amen. I got three amens out of this sermon. That's good enough for me. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord knows who belongs to him. So depart from iniquity. Change your plans. Adhere to a holy calling. Call sin what it is and renounce it and walk away from it. Be concerned about the truth. Be connected by faith. Thirdly and finally, be characterized by godliness. That should be your character. Godliness. Don't worry about whether somebody's going to accept you or whether somebody's going to like you, whether somebody's going to put you on their privilege list, whether you're going to be a member of the in crowd. There's not but one in crowd for the believer, and that's Christ Jesus. That's the in crowd for us. Here's an interesting passage of Scripture. Look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verses 20 and 21. Now watch this. Paul says that now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. He says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. First of all, I don't understand people in the church who do not want to be used by God. That speaks volumes about who you are and where you are. Some people in the church say, just let somebody else do it. I'm too busy. I don't have time. It's not for me. I'll get on board later. Some cannot be used by God because they aren't fit for service. It's one thing to have a regular audience. It's another thing to impact that audience for Jesus Christ. And we all have our audiences, don't we? We have these people that are around us. Watch this. We're around these people all the time. And watch this. They laugh at our jokes. You know, they invite us to all their parties. They invite us to all the little activities that are going on. And we think it's because they like us and they love us and they want to be around us. But watch this. Listen, if you're not careful, your professing Christianity will not amount to a bit of beans with them. You know why? Because if you're not careful, your character is so marred that they couldn't listen to you if they wanted to. Your character is so shattered, you're not impacting anybody for Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the reason why you're invited to the parties, and the reason why you're in the in crowd, and the reason why they like you is because you are just like them. That's why. Salvation is free. Don't cost you anything. Christ spilled all the necessary blood. It's free. But Christian living has its cost. It will cost you something. Some refuse to let go of wrongdoing. They want it both ways. Some hold on to false teaching. They take a scripture and flip it. Add a little bit and take a little away from it. So to make them feel good about being wrong. The Bible does not teach that. Given over to foolishness, thus reducing themselves to vessels of wood, vessels of earth, vessels of dishonor. To be a vessel of honor, one that God can use, one has to be purged from behavior that is wrong. Language that is unacceptable, talk that tears down, and teaching that is false, and hypocrisy that is hidden. Only Christ can do that. Some people spend years trying to fix themselves. Let me help you out. You can't do it. You and I cannot fix ourselves, but Jesus can. And when he does, you'll know it, because you'll have unusual power. You'll have unusual faith. He'll work things in your life that you never thought possible, because now, for once in our lives, we're trusting him and not ourselves. We don't work, but he does. To be a vessel of honor, be set apart to Jesus Christ and his work. Be satisfied in knowing that only Christ can fit us for the master's use. Some people say, I wish God would just use me. Make yourself available. Some people say, I wish God would get glory out of my life. Believe him. I wish God would use me to impact people for Christ. Trust him. Surrender your heart to him and watch him go to work in your life. The distinguishing feature in the church of the living God is not wealth. It's not ability. It's not even social distinction. The distinguishing feature in the church is holiness. Holiness. Godliness. God doesn't call you to be successful, although some are. God doesn't call you to be wealthy, although some are. But God calls everyone to be faithful. Faithful to his word. To be that vessel of honor. Be concerned about the truth. Be connected by faith. Be characterized by godliness. And whenever you want to measure the authenticity of your Christianity, get your Bible out. You see, Christianity is not what we say. Christianity is not even who we say we are. Christianity is what God says we are. Christianity is who God says we are. Because he's always right. And we get it wrong. But when we agree with God concerning his word, our life changes. And it changes radically, and it changes drastically, because Christ died for our sin. And our responsibility, listen folks, to put our faith, our trust, and our confidence in Jesus. Father, we thank you today for the power and the truth of your word. We want to be authentic. We don't want to be make-believe. We don't want to be hypocritical. We don't want to be mere professors of truth. But we want our light to shine so that people might see you in us. And help us, oh God, to understand that we can never do that outside of a living, loving, lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. Bring your word home to the heart of the intended hearer, that their lives might be touched, that their hearts might be changed, and that they might begin a love affair with you because of who you are. Help someone today, oh God, make a life-changing decision for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All over the building, will you stand?